Now, what I'm about to say, I do not mean this against anybody who eats healthy food. I try to eat as healthy as I can myself. Is there anybody here who does everything they can to eat healthy? Yeah, okay, you don't have to raise it high. You know, I see it. And this is not a slam. I pray God for grace to eat healthier and healthier. But you know what? You can meticulously, carefully eat the healthiest things imaginable, from salad greens grown organically and washed with, spring water. And, you can carefully measure and control and do everything you can to have such a meticulous diet that you could never in this world conceivably suffer a heart attack or cancer. And as you're walking across the street, get hit by a bus and die. Amen? Amen. Stephanie, this is not aimed at you, so just ignore that. You can plug your ears. If you're going in for surgery, you can have the most credentialed, decorated, brilliant surgeon in all of America operate on you and do a brilliant, wonderful job and cut you up, sew you up, so that you don't even see the scar. And while you're in there, some yahoo from the cafeteria delivers you a hamburger with E. coli and takes you out of this world. Okay, you can unplug yours now. And have a wonderful surgery and completely healed within the next 3 days in other cases. No matter how meticulously you care for yourself, all of your prudence, all of your care, all of your wisdom can ultimately fail you because things happen that we simply are not expecting. So, there is nothing a sinner can do in his own effort to ultimately keep him from death and hell. I don't care how good you take care of yourself, one day you're going to die. And it may be 50 years from now, or it may be in a few moments. People have died in church. Finally, last point, number 9. In spite of all of those things, yet nearly every unsaved man who hears about hell flatters himself that he will escape it. They may joke about it. You could go out on the street and ask somebody, you think you'll go to heaven or hell? They may say, oh yeah, me and my buddies are all going to hell. We're all going to go down and party together. They may joke about it, but when the rubber meets the road and they are laying on their deathbed, they have lived their life. They do not seriously expect to end up there. Nobody intends or expects to go to hell. No matter what you joke about it, if you really joke about it, you either do not believe in it at all, you just think you're really just going to die and that's going to be it. Or if you believe in hell, you believe you will escape it because you see yourself as completely qualified for heaven. Psalm 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. There's another proverb that in there a couple times. In fact, it says, every way of a man is pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Unsaved man thinks he is the next thing just below Mother Teresa, man. It's like, God, Jesus, Mother Teresa, and me. And all the rest of my, work associates and family, they're way down there somewhere if they can only get it together. All right, maybe two below Mother Teresa, but nobody expects it. Nobody anticipates it. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. If you could interview people in hell, I promise you none of them expected that they would wind up there, that they would be spending eternity there. And I can tell you this. We have a movie that we're thinking of showing one Saturday morning. And I think I mentioned it when we had the service outside there under the tent. It's by a cardiologist, a famous decorated cardiologist who wrote a book about people who had near-death experiences. And when they came back, not all of them saw a beautiful light beckoning to them. He said over 50% of them saw themselves going to hell. But they were so embarrassed by it that they did not want to tell their friends. And so they would fix their memory as time went by. And the farther time went by, the more they denied the experience that they had. None of them expected that. And many of them when as he brought them back, were terrified as he resuscitated them and begged him not to stop to make sure that they lived because of what they had seen as they had stepped into eternity for a moment. So, Peter.
What scripture that says in Proverbs, hell is never full?
Never full. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. And that's from a hymn, by the way. Yes, I said that on purpose. So let's review really quick. Number one, God is able to send sinners to hell. Number two, sinners deserve to go to hell. Number three, sinners are already under the sentence of hell. Number four, they are already the objects of God's hellish wrath. Number five, the devil stands poised and ready to seize them and torment them in hell. Number six, they are by nature the children of hell. Number seven, the lack of an imminent threat does not secure them from death in hell. Number eight, there is nothing they can do in their own effort to ultimately keep them from death in hell. And yet, in spite of all those things, amazingly, number nine, yet nearly every unsaved man who hears about hell flatters himself that he will escape it. And he is utterly blind to the fact that he is standing on slippery ice in a steep, sloping surface, and the only thing that keeps him from sliding headfirst into hell is the pleasure and tender mercies of God. This is how Jonathan Edwards summed up the situation. It's a pretty long paragraph, but bear with me. This is what he said is the conclusion of the matter. If you are not a child of God, that world of misery, the lake of burning brimstone, is extended abroad under you. Below you is the dreadful pit of the glowing flames of the wrath of God. Hell's mouth is gaping wide open, and you have nothing to stand upon, nor anything to take hold of. There is nothing between you and hell except the air, and it is only the power and mere pleasure of God that holds you up. You probably are not aware of this, for although you find that you are kept out of hell today, you do not see the hand of God in it. Instead, you attribute your current state to other things, such as the health of your body, your care of your own life, and the means you use for your own preservation. But indeed, these things are nothing. If God should withdraw his hand, they would avail you no more to keep you from falling than thin air can hold up a person who is suspended in it. Your wickedness makes you heavy as lead. It drives you down with great weight and pressure towards hell. And if God were to let you go, you would immediately sink and swiftly descend and plunge into that bottomless gulf. At that moment, you will see that your health, your care, your prudence, your best contrivance, and all of your own righteousness have no more influence to hold you up and keep you out of hell than a spider's web has to stop a falling rock. And please know, this is no exaggeration. This is the very reality of truth. This is the state of affairs for anyone, whether one of us today or anybody we know, who is currently out there without Christ in this world. They are suspended by a spider's web. And it is effortless for God when he lets go of that thing. Their own weight, the weight of their own wickedness will drive them into the pit. I was on a plane one day, and I'll wrap up with this. Years ago, I think we were flying home from Texas, and Missy may remember this. I don't remember the exact situation that created the need for this, but Missy, you may remember. The pilot came over right as we were already in place to take off, and the pilot came over the intercom. And he said, "I don't want to alarm you." I'm just telling you so that you know. We're not able to use the entire length of the runway to take off today. I have to take off in a much shorter distance. So I'm going to need to use a technique to do that. And I just wanted you to know so you would not be upset when you hear it. What I'm going to have to do is lock the brakes, and I'm going to rev the engines up far beyond what they would normally be for taking off from this point. And then I'm going to let the brakes go, and that will help us to take off in a shorter distance. So I'm sitting there, praying, of course. And you hear the engines whine higher and higher and higher until the point they are literally screaming. And the plane is starting to shake. And suddenly he lets go of that brake. And brother, let me tell you what, man, we flew down that runway and we leaped into the air like a gazelle leaping out into space, man. I mean, that thing took off into the air. I was laughing. I mean, I didn't know whether I wanted to cry or laugh, but it was so, that feeling in your gut, you know, when your gut goes out behind your spine somewhere and your face is going, brrr. Nevertheless, please know this. Please hear my heart. Please, 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 please hear me. That is exactly where an unsaved person stands. The very propulsion of their wickedness drives them forth with such force, and the only thing standing from them to between them and being propelled into hell like a rocket is the brakes of God's tender mercy and compassion. And one day, if he is going to be a just God at all, one day he has to release those brakes. And there is nothing that will save a person from plunging headfirst into destruction except the blood of Jesus Christ. And I just want to say this today. If you are in to any the smallest, tiniest degree uncertain about your eternal destiny, if you do not know for sure that you are 100% completely and absolutely saved by Jesus Christ and the fruit of it is not in your life, it is not your life. If there's any doubt that your life demonstrates the fact that you have genuinely been born again and are walking in the Spirit of Christ, the stakes are far too high. There is nothing in this world worth being uncertain about. You need to know, and you need to secure that today, because we do not know what moments we have tomorrow. And if you have somebody that you love, that you've been praying for, that you know is lost, or you suspect very deeply is not saved, and if you have been lax or casual about their salvation, if their name is not on your lips every morning when you wake up to pray for them, that God would save them, then take this as notice. You need to start praying for that person, because that day may come far sooner than you ever expected. And we don't want to lose a single one, not on our watch, not when God has put their name on our heart. I don't know who you may know or love who is close to you that you believe is utterly lost in this world, that they don't have a clue, that if they died right now, nothing would keep them from the pit of hell. But we have an opportunity to cry out to them, amen? Cry out for them. We have an opportunity to bring their name before God and say, God, whatever you can do in your power, I don't want to see them perish. I don't want to go without them. I can't imagine the terror that they will face on that day before the judgment seat of Christ, when their sins are laid bare in front of their face, too numerous to count, to where every mouth is silent and nobody can even appeal to God because it is so evident where they deserve to go. I don't want to see them stand in that place. It would break my heart. It would rip my heart out of my chest to know that they are lost forever. So I just want to take this opportunity now. If you don't know for certain that you are saved and you want to make sure today you are saved, I want you to come up with me right now and let's pray together and let's ensure this before God and let's do business with God and guarantee it today. If there's somebody that you want to pray for, that you want to just call their name out before God and ask Him to do what He can to save them, then let's do that today also. But let's not miss this moment, man. We're in church. This is what it's all about. And our God, as the song says, our God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. There is no one beyond His grasp. There is no place they can run where He cannot reach them. There is no heart so hard that God cannot unlock that key by His sovereign grace and power. So if we are the church of God, if we're waiting for someone else to pray for Him, we better stop holding our breath. We are the ones that God has called. Let's us pray to God for them.